This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors and slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the Barrels and the Bills. Indeed, second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And do we have Bob?
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Well, it's always great to get to the start of baseball season where I actually took some time last night for the Sweet 16. I watched a little bit of a couple of opening games. But, of course, what's overshadowing this is Shohei Ohtani. You have followed Ohtani intently over time. What has been your initial read of all of this?
Well, he certainly handled it well. I mean, he doesn't seem rattled. Talked to him briefly before the game yesterday, then we all did afterwards. And it seemed like no distraction. I mean, he insists he had no knowledge at all. That his interpreter was really his best friend, stole the money from him. MLB is doing an investigation just to see, make sure that he had no involvement. But even if he did, Steve, since it didn't involve baseball gambling, it would be, no more than a slap on the wrist.
Well, exactly, because we talk about that with the NFL. Everyone remembers some of the suspensions in the NFL. It was only because they were betting on non-NFL games in the facility. So that's why they got a slap in the wrist. Where does the language barrier come in with this? And I'm not just talking about the interpreter, right? Okay, the one that's in trouble. But is it tough kind of gauging him because of the language barrier between the two? Because you have to have that exchange.
Yeah, I mean, I think at the get go, but you can talk to him, Steve, casually. Not every him in English. He understands English, at least basic English, pretty well. So, I mean, obviously he must have understood enough English when his interpreter was apologizing to the team that he picked up on it and said, wait a minute now. I didn't agree to this. I didn't fund your gambling.
Oh, I think we lost Bob there for a second. There he is.
I'm not sure, what the problem was, but he understands English. He really does.
All right. So it's not an issue. Mookie Betts is, when I first saw Mookie Betts, I did a game in Lowell between State College and Lowell in the New York Penn League. He was playing second base, right, and actually pretty good at it. And then, of course, the Red Sox moved into the outfield because they were thinking about Dustin Pedroia at the time. What about the move to shortstop? What's your thought on that with him?
I mean, he's so athletic. They're confident he'll get better and better as the year goes on. But, Steven, that's the hardest position in the field, it's that catcher. And to think a guy can, all of a sudden, who hasn't played shortstop on a regular basis since high school, all of a sudden do it at the major league level, for a contender, it's kind of hard to believe. We'll see what happens. You talk to baseball scouts, they're kind of uncertain how this will work out, just because it's such a tough position. He may be adequate, but for a team that wants to go to the World Series, you better be more than adequate.
All right, so obviously it's an interesting answer with this group, because how concerned? Look, I know spring training's one thing, but when a guy's ERA is higher than the father in the coach pitch league, that's not good. And Yamamoto's ERA in spring training, and then in the opener against, he got tacked for 5 runs against San Diego. Any concern about him early?
I don't think so. I mean, at least they're not expressing it publicly. You know, I think the reason being is just for whatever reason, when a lot of the Japanese players come over, they struggle in spring training. You know, then when the lights turn on, you know, they perform lights out. Remember, Lou Piniella wanting to, almost release Ichiro Suzuki his first spring. I covered Hideo Nomo, and he stunk that first spring with the Dodgers. Ohtani was terrible with the Angels. So it was that first game in Korea, but I think all the fanfare, remember that the Ohtani scandal was going on that day. So we'll see what happens. I just can't believe that, everybody in baseball was wrong in this guy. And we had about, 8 or 10 teams, offering him over $250 million.
All right, so now here's the next part. There are a couple of guys that signed very late in this, including Jordan Montgomery. What, if any, is the concern of the Players Association because of how late the signings took place?
Well, they're all the same, Scott Boras guys. I mean, they want those guys signed earlier. And I think the price tag was just too high. When you're floating around, 9 years at 270 for Snell, over 200 for Bellinger, that sort of thing. Over 125 for Chapman. And the market wasn't there. And so they, end up having to sign late just because there's no other offers. I mean, outside the Yankees offer, the other team that made an offer was Blake Snell. And he didn't particularly want to go to San Francisco. He didn't want to go to the Angels. So, before that, I think the Players Association was pretty happy with the way, the market had gone.
Right, and of course, there's a little bit of upheaval within the Players Association. What's your read on that right now?
Well, I just, there was a groundswell coming from, I think, Harry Marino, who kind of organized the minor leaguers, into the union. And, people were starting to get upset. They wanted Harry to be part of it. He left, kind of falling out with the Bruce Meyer and Tony Clark. And I think they had to take a vote before opening day if anything was going to happen. It never happened. So, I think there's people still upset. I think it's kind of a wake-up call to the union. Like, okay, we better get everybody, on board here. Maybe add some more attorneys. Because there's too many people that are upset with Bruce Meyer, the number two guy. And, MLB fought with him tooth and nail. I thought he did a good job. You don't want your number two guy, out playing golf every day with Rob Manfred. You're supposed to be the enemy.
Can he beat Manfred? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I know that.
All right, give me a couple of early season storylines that interest you right out of the gate.
Well, I mean, obviously, the Dodgers with Ohtani. I'm here in L.A. just because it's kind of the epicenter of all baseball right now. We'll see about the Yankees. I think they're short. We'll see what happens. I know they, Soto had a big game yesterday, but, Soto is not a good outfielder. That throw shocked me just because, he was so bad in San Diego defensively. I think people are sleeping on Baltimore Orioles. I don't see any reason why they can't be just as good, if not better, than a year ago. So it seems like the young guys, whether it's, when Holiday comes up, Chirios with Milwaukee, young Langford kid with Texas Rangers. Those are fun guys to watch, and they captivate a lot of attention.
You mentioned the Orioles, and by the way, there's a reason why the Astros ran on Soto yesterday. It is exactly why you said, but he made the play. The Orioles, new ownership coming in with a young base. How interesting is that a story as to how that plays out over the next few years, because there are going to be a lot of guys coming up on contracts?
Yeah, I mean, with a new owner there, and obviously, when new owners come in, they like to spend money. I was kind of hoping that they would go out and sign a Jordan Montgomery, sort of thing. But yeah. I do think it means they'll be more aggressive now with the trade deadline. take on big contracts and go from there. But I think it's a fun team to watch, and they're actually my pick to win the World Series. I'm surprised that people are picking different teams to win the division, even in the world, not to win more than 90 games, and they won 101 games. I don't see why they can't match that this year.
No, I agree with you. That's why I was talking about the other day. Somebody said, "Who's your favorite in the East?" I said, "Baltimore." I just really like their base, and then they added in Burns. I mean, now I want to get to the Phillies for a second. They didn't really make a lot of moves. They stood pat with what they have. What's your thought when you look at Philadelphia? Because any move they've made has only been a subtle one to this point.
Yeah, I mean, I love the makeup in that clubhouse, ownership GM on down. But I wish they had done more. I mean, I know they, retained the two guys they wanted with Nolan Wheeler. But that being said, I would love to see them get a Jordan Montgomery. I know they're looking for left-handed outfielder. But it doesn't seem like enough. I don't like the fact they're bringing everybody back and then add some new pieces. I think they're thin. I mean, with Taiwan Walker getting hurt off the bat, I just worry about that rotation outside, the top two, three guys. I throw Ranger Suarez in there. So, after top three, I kind of worry about the rotation.
And then there's Atlanta, the team that conquers them in the regular season, but they conquer in the postseason. Atlanta added in Chris Sale, who's gone from, my opinion, of being a dominant seven, maybe eight-inning pitcher to being a dominant four- or five-inning pitcher just because of injuries and so forth. What do you think of the makeup of Atlanta right now?
I still think Atlanta's a team to beat in the National League. Nervous talking about the Dodgers, but they're a great, great team. The position players are unbelievable, and if Sale can stay healthy, put him in the that rotation come postseason time, look out. So they're always dangerous. Antopoulos, Alcantopoulos, the GM, as good as anybody in the business. So I like them a lot. I don't see any reason why they can't be in the World Series.
Okay, and you did mention briefly the Yankees. Your thoughts on the Yankees, and then we'll go to the Mets after that. just to have fun today.
I just think the Yankees are short. I mean, they really need these guys to step up, like Rondon, and be that type of guy. Garrett Cole to be the same Garrett Cole when he comes back, in late May or early June. So it just seems they're so fragile. They don't seem that depth either. When the big boys go down, what do they have? So, I think they're a good team, but just not a great team. And there's no reason why they can't be a 90-win team.
Right, and then there are the Mets. All right.
Here's
group.
Steve Cohen. Won everybody's praise in New York. Everybody's excited. They're spending money, and it blew up on their face. I mean, last year's team was a disaster. So he hires David Stearns not to write checks, but build me a consistent winner. Build me what Atlanta has, and that's what they're doing. I mean, that's why they didn't stay out of the free agent market. They signed J.D. Martinez. I'm sure they're hoping they can trade J.D. Martinez at the trade deadline. I think they'll definitely trade Pete Alonso at the deadline. And then I think, reset him the salary cap or luxury tax, and then go from there. I do believe they'll be a big player for Juan Soto next year. And I think Soto prefer to play with the Mets than the Yankees. I think he likes the National League.
Yeah, interesting. What do you think of Lindor?
Good player. I'm not sure he'll ever, be that star player. I don't think he's going to be a Derek Jeter, but certainly a talented guy. I thought Cleveland made a great trade when they trained the Mets. So, a very, very solid player. So I think if he can just, keep doing what he did last year, they'll take it. And there's no reason why this guy can't be durable. I mean, he plays a lot. So, I like the fact he likes to play as many games as possible, a little bit like a Marcus Semien.
One final question, and that's about the San Francisco Giants. They keep making runs at big names, and they keep being the bridesmaid for big names. In the end, Are there any factors that's allowing them to seemingly finish second and third for big names as opposed to first?
Well, you know, Buster Posey, who is now part of the ownership there, you know, he mentioned just the city, you know, the decay of the city. And he was kind of rebuffed from that, and people said, no, that's not true. It's not that bad. I mean, it is bad, but, you know, a lot of cities aren't what they used to be, you know, since COVID. So let's see what happens. You know, I know, you know, hitters, you better overpay to get there. But, you know, hey, you know, they end up getting Chapman. They end up getting Snell. You know, they got, you know, Jun Lee, the Korean center fielder. Yeah. So they made some nice moves. The pitchers really love playing there. It's just, what, nobody's hit 30 home runs there, you know, since Barry Bonds, which is amazing in this day and age.
That is amazing in this day and age. It is. It's almost like telling everybody that Duke hasn't beaten a team higher seeded than them in 30 years, and that's a fact, too. All right. Bob, thanks so much. Happy opening week, and we'll talk again soon. It's always great. Thank you.
All right, look forward to it. Take care, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, one of the best in the business and always so generous with his time. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills. My two favorites, by the way. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student-athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student-athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.